Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Campionato di calcio italiano.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It is me, Dov, back once again. You must be getting sick of my voice by this point. But the Serie A season is almost upon us, and we've got to have a look at another team. This time, we're going to have a look at the Viola, La Viola, Fiorentina, with our very own Vieri Capretta, who was born near Florence, weren't you, Vieri?
Well, I would say in Florence. And yes, we are sick of your voice.
Does it count as Florence, though? Does it really? It's in the region bit, but it's not Florence. It's like...
It's in the province.
Yeah, exactly. You're a provincial lad.
Of course.
There we go. Right, Vieri Capretta is here to talk about Fiorentina because it's been, well, a bit of a crazy, tough, emotional year for everybody associated with the club, the fans, the players, the kind of director, everybody, basically. And kind of that all started with the death, obviously, of Davide Astori last year now. And we kind of want to see what they've done so far this season in the first half. Now, the first thing I want to ask you, Vieri, is just how is kind of Astori's death and kind of it being a little while since it happened and kind of things have settled, but how is that, affecting the club still, or is it kind of something that's in the minds but the club's kind of moved on from it a little bit now?
Well, I think it definitely has moved on in the sense that kind of impact it immediately had on the team and on the club with those, well, on the pitch with those six wins in a row back in last season's Serie A, and then with the club itself, with all the stuff they've done for the family, for his remembrance. Of course, you know, life goes on and that had to happen. Let's not forget, though, that every single weekend, the fans are still cheer him. Every 13th minute, we have those same chants. And, of course, before every home Fiorentina game, the speaker at the stadium reads out his name. So there's that sort of remembrance carrying on. Hopefully it'll go on forever. But obviously life goes on and the club has moved on, looking ahead. And the players obviously firstly reacted positively on the pitch with some wins and showing renewed spirit last season. But they haven't started this season with the same kind of spirit, really, and of will to make a difference for their captain. They keep on remembering Astori, but the results have been a bit up and down.
Well, I would say maybe a bit more down than up, to be honest. I think they've only won two games since the beginning of October, and those two games came just before Christmas as well. So it's been a bit of a tough period. I think, what was it? It's a 4-1-1 draws in a row at one point as well.
I think five. But I agree. Definitely.
4-1-1 draws and 1-0-0. So don't try and correct me.
5 draws.
Yeah, five draws in a row. 4-1-1s. So we can have said before that you would say they've underperformed.
Well, I mean, that is the real question. In terms of what the general public seems to think Fiorentina are, well, they're probably underperforming because they're 10th in the table, out of any possible Europa League spot. Yes, yet I keep on reading and hearing that they play attacking football, that Chiesa is the next big thing, that they've got a lot of creative midfielders in the likes of Gerson, and Biraghi is a great attacking fullback. And then you look at the results and Fiorentina are 10th. So either they're underperforming or simply the players aren't as good as, you know, the media. I wouldn't say the Florentine media, but I would say the national and international.
So you're saying it's our fault, Vieri? Is that what you're saying? Do we pretend that Fiorentina are much better than what they actually are?
It's nobody's fault. It's just I think the general consensus is overrating the team. So I think they are slightly underperforming in terms of results, at least right now, because, yes, 26 points and being 10th is less than the value. But I think 7th would be the real achievement, you know, the final Europa League spot. Put simply, because I think there's 6/7 better clubs, without a doubt, in Serie A.
Right, okay. So let's kind of go back then, because obviously in the summer and at the start of the season, everybody was kind of, like you say, excited and hopeful for this Fiorentina team, because I think in Europe's top five leagues, it had the youngest squad out of all the teams. That is confirmed, right? So people were like, wow, this is great. They're going to have a young team. They're going to be fantastic. And do you think that's maybe holding them back a little bit? Because I would say in most teams, you need a bit of a blend. You need youngsters who are enthusiastic, but also you need a bit of experience as well. And Fiorentina don't have that.
Well, young doesn't necessarily mean immediate results. Surely some of the Fiorentina players right now could turn up to win big things later on in their career. But at the moment, that's not what you've got. So I'm not surprised by their results. It's obviously exciting to have a young team, and it's harder to criticize a young team because you expect them to make more mistakes. Obviously, you have less winning mentality, less experience in certain moments. But having said that, you know, we can't expect them to be exciting just because they're young. We should have seen more on the pitch. And I think one player that has been missing a lot, that was a lot of the excitement in the summer, is Marco Piazza, who arrived from Juventus on loan. Seemed like a great prospect back at Juve, then obviously was injured and spent 6 months sidelined. And when he came back, you know, Fiorentina on loan, his chance, to show his talent, finally got that number 10 on the back, and he's not done anything.
677 minutes he's played this season.
And not very well either. So I think that was one of the main things. Was Fiorentina obviously lost Badel in the middle, but everyone thought the defense is quite good, and I think they were the only ones who really have performed to their standard consistently. And then you had an attacking trio of Chiesa, Simeone, Piazza, young, vibrant, exciting, that didn't really turn out as good as people expected.
And I know you've got Luis Muriel, who we'll talk about in a bit, who's obviously going to make the difference. Right, so, Kenny, you've looked at that in general then. What about some individual performances? You picked up Piazza there. What about positive ones? Because in January in particular, and a bit in the summer as well, Nikola Milenkovic, he's been followed by a lot of big teams. You've obviously got Giovanni Simeone, who he gets headlines because of his surname, as does his kind of partner in the front line, Federico Chiesa. I mean, how would you rate those three in particular? And is there anybody I've missed who deserves a mention individually?
Well, let's start with the ones you have mentioned. I think Milenkovic has showed that he's a very solid defender. He's got goals in him. He scored as well. And what is impressive from him is that he's very young and yet plays like a veteran. And it doesn't really matter where he's played either. He's very versatile. And that's, I think, what has stood out, because obviously was bought as a center back. Pioli plays him as a right back mainly. And he's demonstrated, obviously, that he's not the best attacking right back, but he's a very, very solid player and can cover up for Chiesa, who plays on the same side and obviously is a very attacking winger, even though Chiesa is someone who does have a lot of defensive work in his skills as well. So going on to him, I think obviously he gets the headlines for his surname, and he already was one of the key men for Fiorentina last season. What everyone expected this year was a bit more goals. And we've seen what he's capable of with that strike at the San Siro. I think he stands out particularly positively for Fiorentina, because if you look at him, if you watch a lot of games of Fiorentina, you'll look that most of the players aren't very quick and pacey and don't really dribble at all. Yet he's the only one who does so regularly. So that's why he always stands out. And I think he's always performed very well. The paradox being, his worst game was probably the one against AC Milan at the San Siro. Yet he scored that amazing goal, and which was also the winning goal as well. So I think Chiesa's been doing his job. He just needs to score a bit more. The one who hasn't been doing his job at all and definitely needs to score a bit more is Giovanni Simeone, who...
Well, hold on a minute, Vieira. He's Fiorentina's top scorer in Serie A on 4 goals. What are you talking about?
I think Marco
Benassi. No, Benassi is 6, sorry. He's a top scoring striker, then I'll say to myself. Benassi's got 6, he's got 4. He's doing his job, is he not? For strikers.
He's missed a lot of these chances. And not just that, he's just a bit... it's like it's something's always lacking in the final third of his game. You know, he does work quite hard for the team defensively, but he often miscontrols, slows down play going forward. You know, we know he's got that grinta. Gattuso would love his defensive work. But then you expect a bit more from a striker. And you're talking about a player who scored 12 goals, 13 perhaps 2 seasons ago, 14 last year. And he just had to step up and become the number 9 that everyone expects him to be from what we've seen recently. He's not that young anymore, and he hasn't done that so far. So I think his goals have been missing particularly. And the other player I mentioned earlier is Marco Piazza, who definitely needed to do better in the first half of the season.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I said the defense is probably what's been best, and I think Captain Pizzella deserves a mention as well. He's been consistently Fiorentina's best defender with Milenkovic, but he's definitely shown, you know, moral values, leadership, as well as often making the right decision at the back, both tactically and when he needed a tackle last time intervention. You know, Pizzella is someone Fiorentina can rely on. And mentioning the midfielders, I think, would be quite useless. It's been the worst midfield, one of the worst midfields of the league, I'd say, Fiorentina. It was on paper, it confirmed that way. Virtu is the only one who does the job, and he's basically playing on his own. Losing Badel in the summer and not replacing him I think has weighed a lot on Fiorentina's chances to get a final Europa League spot.
Well, there you go, right. So what's the aim then for the season? You said that they're maybe probably not going to get a Europa League spot there, or you alluded to it. Is that the aim, to get back into Europe? Is the aim to produce young players that they can sell on? I mean, what is the point in Fiorentina, Vieri?
We could go on forever talking about this. If I think that there is a team that used to have Batistuta and Rui Costa, well, what is the aim of Fiorentina now? Well, what is the aim? I think they've definitely declared the ownership and Pioli that they want to go back to Europe. So I think the realistic aim is to try and come seventh. But then the reality of it is obviously they want to try and get the most out of these young players to sell them and make some profit out of it. And also expecting them perhaps in one or two seasons time to be a contender that with a couple of additions could perhaps fight for a top four finish even. But I think realistically, it'd be good for Fiorentina if they come seventh. And that's the aim. It's been announced. And at the same time, perhaps sell the likes of Milenkovic. That could be one. And make a lot of money out of it. And then rebuild the team. Again, the aim last season was definitely to just rebuild from after selling all those players 2 years ago. Now the aim is Europe. But at the same time, to try and get some value for money when it comes to selling some of the youngsters. I think Chiesa, they'll try and hold on to him at the end of the season. But Milenkovic is a decent candidate to leave for a big sum. Mm,
indeed, I think, you're going to have to let somebody go. And that kind of looks like it's what kind of happens with Italian teams these days. Right, so looking kind of at the hierarchy then, the coach, how do you think Pioli's doing in general?
Well,
go on.
I think he's done an amazing job considering what happened with Davide Astori last year. It would have been very hard for anyone. I mean, impossible to say how any single individual would have reacted in that position, but he seems to have kind of shielded the team and shown that leadership that a coach has to show in such a tragedy. What he has done very well this season, I'll praise him first, is defensively, Fiorentina aren't a team that concede a lot. They work hard. The four at the back, obviously, it's almost like a three-man defense plus Biraghi, because Milenkovic, as we said, is a very defensive right back. They've worked very well as a group, and I think Lafont has had decent cover, even though he's made a couple of mistakes, but also some great games. He's obviously the youngest player, the goalkeeper Fiorentina have. And then the work from the midfielders, Vertu, Edmilson, Fernandes, Gerson, they're very careful not to give a lot of space to the opponents. So I think that's worked out quite nicely. I think Pioli's aim generally was to have a very solid defense and then get Piazza, Chiesa and Simeone to be quick on the counter. That didn't really work out as well. The main criticism I would give to Pioli, the premise is I don't think the team is very good, so it doesn't really depend on him that results aren't great. Having said this, I think he sometimes could have been a bit more brave to try and win certain games. As you mentioned, Fiorentina drew 5 games in a row, and the feeling was in certain occasions Pioli could have tried to be a bit more attacking. He's never played 2 number 9s at the same time. It's true, Fiorentina only have Simeone as a real starter and then Vlahovic as a youngster who's the backup, but you know, they've never played together.
Well, that's the thing. Sorry, Vieira. If you look at the draws that they did have, particularly that 5-game run, it was against Cagliari, Torino, Roma, Frosinone, and Bologna. And then after they got beat of Juve, they drew with Sassuolo as well. So you're thinking like at least half of those teams you should be expecting to beat, given that at least 3 of them are in a relegation battle.
Well,
and then that takes you up to near what, 4th place almost.
And on top of that, you said that, but there's also how the games fared. I think against Roma, for example, Fiorentina just started to sit back more and more, and they should have probably tried to push a bit forward in the second half, because they only conceded late on and they could have got the victory against Roma. Whereas against Torino, for example, Fiorentina should have lost. Just like blatantly, we were lucky to get a point. So you could say the same about the game against Cagliari. It could have gone both ways. It was a very balanced game. Whereas I think against Frosinone, with another striker, Fiorentina could have won that match. So the truth is, if Fiorentina had lost against Torino, perhaps, and against Cagliari, and won against Roma and Frosinone, you'd still have more points than now. So that's what I mean. Like, you need to try and be more attacking, because of course a draw is better than a defeat. I mean, goes without saying. But sometimes it's better to lose a game, having risked a bit more, and then win another game for the same reason. And I think Pioli's been a bit too conservative sometimes.
And right, so all right, a couple of things then. One thing I was kind of wondering about, Fiera, you obviously be able to help us out, is can after the Astori death, the relations between the fans and the directors, the Della Valle's, kind of thawed a little bit, and they became almost united to kind of see Fiorentina go forward. How have relations been between the fans of the club? Because before that, they were very fractured, and basically the fans just did not. They wanted these guys out, and they wanted to sell as well. I mean, what's going to happen since then?
The truth is, it was an armistice, basically, because of Astori's death. And now we're not back to the same level as before the 4th of March, but similar, I'd say. And simply because, you know, the players, the fans want an ambitious team, and they want the owners to be honest. I think that's always been the main thing. The Della Valle have always said they wanted to fight for Europe regularly. They got to the Champions League sometimes. There's old interviews saying, oh, we'll win the league within 10 years and things like that. Yet they've not invested the amount of money, or maybe they have done in the wrong way, to make that happen, or at least try. I think a lot of Fiorentina fans wouldn't mind being in the position of Napoli, where they haven't won a lot more than Fiorentina, just a couple of Coppa Italias and a Supercoppa in the past decade. But they've managed to be regularly in the Champions League, like the Della Valle were promising a decade ago. And the death of Astori, obviously, was such a big thing that they couldn't go on, the fans couldn't go on with the usual chance against the owners, against the Della Valle. But now we're starting to hear them again, and there was basically no real big name was signed in the summer. Yes, Piazza, that's pretty much it. Muriel now. There's already talk of, you know, Chiesa might be leaving, Milenkovic might be. So it's the same old mediocrity, and I think the fans are bored of just having Fiorentina mid-table. So the relations between fans and owners have smoothened a little bit because of Astori's death, but are worsening again and again and again. And without a doubt, until there's a clear sign of our intention is to buy good players to try and get regularly in Europe, until that happens, the fans won't be happy, unless the owners literally speak out and say, this is what we want to do, arrive, you know, come 10th every season, and we're happy with that, and we just want to make money. That would probably sound, you know,
sounds
not
pretty
very
depressing,
nice,
to be honest.
Yeah, no, it would sound depressing, but at least they'd be honest about their intentions. Whereas at the moment, it seems like, you know, we want to fight for a top five finish, sixth finish, and then come ninth, and who cares? Because really, the team is that. It's not better than that.
There you go. Right. So, what do they need then? The window is open. Muriel's come in. What do they need? Is Muriel going to make the difference? Is he going to pull up trees? Is he going to take Fiorentina back into Europe?
I don't think he'll be enough.
But that's because
I think the main problem with Fiorentina is there's a big hole in the middle of the pitch. Vertu is the only real midfielder, consistent. So a real presence there. So I think Fiorentina need at least another Vertu, or Badel would be just fine. Why don't Fiorentina try and get Badel back? He's getting no playing time at Lazio.
That's exactly what I was just about to say to you, because after a conversation we had with Alistair in our Lazio mid-season preview, he kind of said that Badel's been a bit of a disappointment at Lazio, so bring him back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That kind of player, I think, would lift the team to a slightly better level. He's obviously not Modric, but you know, he's a decent midfielder.
And go for Modric, why don't you just go for it? Aim
well,
high.
Yeah, exactly. No, but yeah, I've always thought Fiorentina was lacking something in midfield in the summer, and having seen Gerson and Eddie Milson and Benassi playing as I expected, so not very well, you know, Benassi scores goals, but he's just not a presence in the middle in the same way Vertu is, who's a box-to-box midfielder who is present defensively and offensively. That's what Fiorentina need. Another Vertu, and then you can give really Chiesa, Simeone, Muriel, Piazza, Miralles the chance to express themselves going forward without having to worry about what happens behind them, really.
There you go. Right, so prediction time, Vieri. Fiorentina currently sitting 10th, like you said. They are 3 points off 7th place, which will probably get them into Europe, given that Juventus will likely win the Coppa Italia and Serie A. So that means the place goes to the Serie A table. Can they do it? Where do you think they'll finish?
Well, I'm looking at the teams ahead of them. I think Atalanta and Torino will come before Fiorentina. The only team who are currently 7th are Sampdoria, who could do worse overall. So I think Fiorentina will come 9th, 8th, not more than that. I don't think they'll manage to get the last Europa League spot.
Well, there you go, everybody. A very optimistic Vieri Capretta there with us. Exactly. If anybody knows you, you're such an optimistic guy. Very, very positive. Right, that's us done. Follow Vieri on the Twitter if you don't already. It's at Vieri Capretta. A nice, obvious, easy one. The links and everything are in descriptions, articles and all that. And you'll be able to catch Vieri Capretta at Stadia all across Italy because he does hashtag FIF at the games. So there you go, Vieri. Until I come back to Milan. There's nothing left for me to say apart from arrivederci.
I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.